Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chokma, all across the tundra. Also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast, as usual. Proud to be anchoring Coffee at KYUK. This is Grady Deaton, and with us on the phone, Anna Rose MacArthur to host the show. Good morning, Anna Rose.
Grady, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you back.
Today, the topic is the coronavirus again. Over the weekend, the Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation announced its largest spike yet in new coronavirus cases with 17 positive results. As of this morning, the YKHC website lists 78 total cases in the region since the pandemic began. A third of those cases are currently active. YKHC Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges joins us this morning to talk about this recent jump in cases. Dr. Hodges, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Anna Rose. I really appreciate it.
Dr. Hodges, what's your reaction to this new spike in coronavirus cases, 17 in one weekend?
Well, as we've sort of been talking about for many weeks now, the cases in our region continue to rise, and most of these cases have either been travel-related or linked to close contacts of travel cases. So this spike in cases have been basically surrounding two clusters of cases. And while both of these clusters are tied to previously known travel-related cases, the size of the clusters is what really concerns me. And certainly we can't talk about the details of these cases, but it just sort of illustrates how easily COVID-19 spreads in our communities. And we know from trends, and this is what concerns me the most, we know from trends in the rest of the country that when there's an increase in travel-related cases, this can lead to the possibility of community-based spread. And this leads to an overall increase in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. So again, we all have to do our part in preventing the spread of this highly contagious virus. We can make recommendations, but they're only effective if people practice them and listen to them. It takes all of us collectively to contain outbreaks and stop the spread of infection.
Mm-hmm. And so it is the case currently in the YK Delta that there is no evidence yet of community spread occurring.
That is correct. We do not believe, in consultation with the state section of epidemiology, that we currently have community spread. But again, we're a little bit splitting hairs and dicing small things. There's a lot of cases. There's a lot of virus present in our community, a lot of active cases. So, a huge degree of caution is certainly warranted at this point.
At least four communities in the region are under lockdown currently, and some of them, for instance, Nunatsiavut, are under lockdown because residents have tested positive for the coronavirus. I spoke with the mayor of Nunatsiavut this week, Noah Wise, and he said that he's waiting on word from YKHC to find out when to end the lockdown in his community. How is YKHC advising communities like Nunatsiavut where positive results have been found?
Oh, that's a really great question. So our recommendations and our advisory is really tailored to each community on a case-by-case basis. So when we get a positive in a community, our team sits down and we plan out what we would recommend and what our response will be. That includes lockdown, that includes testing and follow-up. It depends on a lot of different factors, but we always advise them to continue protective measures that we know work. Wear a mask in public, avoid being outside your household, keep your social circle really small, limiting it to your household, avoiding non-essential travel, test if you have to travel, practice excellent hand hygiene, those kinds of things. Those are general protective measures that we always recommend. In some cases, we may recommend that the village implement a shelter in place or hunker down. And we have a little bit of guidance for the villages on what we think that means. And this is really to allow the virus to kind of burn out, especially if there's a large outbreak in a village. So if people can wear masks and stay away from each other and not be in public places together, sometimes you can give the chance to allow the virus to sort of burn out and let that outbreak calm down. But I think the most important thing to mention here is just let's be kind to each other. COVID is a tricky virus, and the people who get it aren't trying to be infected, and they're not trying to harm their communities. And being supportive of each other during this very difficult time is absolutely essential for all of us to get through this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And what are the indications that the virus has burned itself out, as you say?
Well, we talked to the state section at EPI, so this isn't a decision that we make in a vacuum. We like to see no new cases for 14 days after the quarantine period has ended. That's kind of an indication. I think the CDC also might recommend that. But again, we still maintain vigilance, especially because in our villages, we know that people live in multi-generational homes and they live in crowded housing in some cases. And so the spread of this virus is very easy in those environments. So we just want to be extra cautious, especially in our rural areas where, you know, there's time and distance to get medical care.
So much of YKHC's success in containing the virus is dependent on its contact tracers. So when someone finds out that they have a positive result, contacting everyone that they've been in contact with during that infectious period, how is YKHC continuing to build its capacity for contact tracing?
Well, our contact tracers are doing just a tremendous job, even with this huge spike in cases. And I just cannot say enough good things about the hard work that group of people is doing. We currently have the capacity we need right now for this recent increase, but we continually monitor this when we check in with that team on a daily basis. We are looking to hire more contact tracers to combat demand. I think all of us realize that this virus is here to stay for the winter, especially here in our region. And so we're probably going to need more and more people to help us with the combat tracing. So it's important to understand that in addition to the initial case investigations for those people who test positive, so that we call them index patients, we make daily calls to everyone who's a close contact and is in quarantine to see if they need any support, whether this might be connecting them to BCSF, the Bethel Community Services Foundation, financial assistance, to see if they need medication from the YKHC pharmacy, or also that team then puts us in touch with either myself or Dr. Bates if they have a medical problem or it seems like their condition might be worsening. And it's been important to remember that this region can lessen the demand for contact tracers by testing after traveler exposure and definitely completing a 14-day quarantine after travel. Or when the household has a close contact in it, or when someone has been identified as a close contact. And again, it's just important to remember that it's really all of our responsibility to help contain the spread of this virus. We can only make recommendations that people do these things from kind of a medical perspective, but it really is the whole community that has to support people who are in quarantine and just taking all the precautions that are necessary so that people who need to be in quarantine can safely isolate from the rest of the community.
If someone is wanting to become a contact tracer and if YKHC expands its need for contact tracing, is there a person that can be contacted if they're interested in contact tracing?
I think once we're ready to hire the new contact tracers, we'll put information out there on our website and on social media.
And you mentioned the airport testing that's occurring. So everyone who flies into the Bethel Airport as well as St. Mary's and Antioch can get tested for the coronavirus. Has the percentage of airport testing increased since the city of Bethel began giving out gift cards to people who do participate in that testing?
Yes, we do believe that the number – so when we first began on-site testing at the airport, on any given day, between a quarter and three-quarters of the arriving passengers opted for airport testing. In some cases, it was a little higher, but that was kind of rare. We believe that this increased to more like half to 75% after the city's recent initiative. And we really hope the city can find the staffing to be up there on a regular basis because the when they are up there, it's really useful, and it is our impression that way more people get tested once the city's up there. And we continue to encourage all passengers, 100% of the flights, to go ahead and opt for testing upon arrival.
And the more people who get tested, it does affect the time frame for when those test results are able to come back. What is the current time frame if someone were to fly in today and get tested? How long should they expect to hear their results?
So the tests that have to be sent out to Anchorage, which those are the tests that we collect at the airport, those are not the rapid tests. Those are the tests that have to be sent out to Anchorage. It takes about 5 to 10 days to get a result. It's important to note that we often get called about the positive results much sooner than that time frame, and so we reach out and get a hold of our patients who turn up positive, because the lab in Anchorage notifies us any time, night, or day when we get a positive result. And this is really out of our control. And you mentioned this as well. The whole state is increasing its testing, which we're very pleased for. We're one of the highest number per capita tested states in the nation. But of course, as we do more tests, the time frame is impacted. And this is also by airline restrictions and statewide demand on labs, including the state lab and the lab that we use it in Anchorage.
And you did mention rapid testing. What's happening at the airport is not the rapid test. But when there's an event, like, for instance, the jail, there were employees who tested positive who work at the UConn Kuskokwim Correctional Facility. Rapid tests were deployed after that event when lots of people in close contact with each other. What is YKHC's current rapid testing capacity?
So rapid testing supplies, they remain in relatively short supply nationwide, and this is the Abbott ID Now testing, which is one of the rapid, which is the rapid testing system that we have currently here in Bethel. So because of this, we prioritize our point of care or our rapid testing. So we kind of have a limited number of tests that we can run every day. And so what we do is we sort of prioritize that. So, for example, we might test a symptomatic healthcare worker or a symptomatic employee of a congregate living center such as YKCC, because that person's got, you know, high risk to spread the virus to lots of other people. We also prioritize those who are close contacts, especially if they're symptomatic. The Abbott ID Now test is really made for that exact scenario, is a symptomatic person who may have been exposed to the virus, and it performs very well in those scenarios. For asymptomatic people, like people coming in on the airplane, the test that we send off to the large molecular analyzers in Anchorage is certainly important. And we also need to test critical infrastructure workers in accordance with some of the state mandates, and as well as testing some of our patients who may be asymptomatic but have to come into the hospital, for example, to have a baby and things like that. So we try to prioritize them based on what the needs of the community are. And close contact tracing, especially symptomatic close contact tracing, is one of our highest priorities. And I think it's a good time to mention that testing is not a replacement for quarantine. This just tells us when someone is infected. And I think that everyone knows now that the infectious period of this disease can last up to 14 days. So even if you test negative on day one, and that was the day that you were exposed, you could still get sick and infect other people. So even if people are getting tested, and a quarantine is recommended, for example, after travel or because you're a close contact to a known case, it's really important to stay in quarantine for the recommended time.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hodges, we just have another minute left. Is there anything else you would like listeners to know at this time?
I think just really emphasizing that we all have to do our part to prevent the spread of infection. We're so grateful for all of the partnerships that we have here in Bethel to help get this virus under control. We make recommendations, but everyone needs to help to contain the outbreak and stop the spread of infection. So we're just grateful for the support and kindness of this community and other communities in the YK Delta as we continue to combat and try to contain this outbreak of the virus.
Well, Dr. Hodges, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, and thank you so much for putting us on the radio and helping get the news out there. We really appreciate it.
Dr. Hodges is the YKHC Chief of Staff. Grady, back to you. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Thanks, Anna Rose. It gives me a chance to tell everyone the best way to be awesome to each other is wash your hands and keep your distance. So don't forget to be awesome to each other.